Welcome to Total Health Transformation Podcast, hosted by Dr. Danny Scarhill. Dr. Danny is a doctor of chiropractic, an author, speaker, and trainer. And on the THT podcast, he interviews other health experts to glean further insights that will help you achieve total health transformation.
Welcome to the Total Health Transformation Podcast. My name's Dr. Danny Scarhill, the founder of DannyScarhill.com, the author of Total Health Transformation, the proven system to unlock limitless energy, motivation, and health, and the creator of the Total Health Transformation programs. Let's get straight into it on this episode.
And our guest tonight is a man who went from over 400 pounds in weight down to losing 222 pounds without dieting. In 2001, John Gabriel weighed 409 pounds. He tried almost every popular diet without success. Not only did he fail to lose weight, he was steadily gaining. Overweight, overworked, and unhappy, John was ready to give up. Then on September the 11th, 2001, John received a wake-up call. He was scheduled to fly from Newark to San Francisco that day, and it was only by chance that he was not on the United Airlines Flight 93 that was hijacked by terrorists and crashed in Pennsylvania with no survivors. John realized that life was a precious opportunity not to be wasted. He realized that his weight would eventually kill him and decided to do something about it. Over the next 2.5 years, John lost over 200 pounds without dieting, pills, or surgery. He also stopped feeling stressed out, overworked, and started living that life of his dreams. John's a best-selling author in the USA, Australia, and New Zealand and Spain with the Gabriel Method. Without further ado, welcome Mr. John Gabriel. How are you doing?
Great. How are you, Dr. Scarhill?
Yeah, very, very well, thanks. So tell us a little bit about your journey, John. How did it get you to where you are now today?
Yeah, so my journey really begins back in 1990 when I started working on Wall Street, and I was in my 20s back then, and I was pretty much effortlessly thin. I was about 180 some odd pounds, and I took good care of myself, but I didn't have to. I mean, I wasn't dieting. I didn't have to worry about my weight. I was fit. I wasn't exercising too much. I was just at that point, pretty much naturally thin, what you call a naturally thin person. And I moved to New York. I was working a very high-stress job on Wall Street. And as soon as I moved to New York, I started gaining weight. And I didn't think too much about it in the beginning, but I just kept gaining and gaining. And so after a couple of years, my weight went from about 180 to 220. And I decided to do something about it. I just did what everybody does, which is go on a diet because it just makes sense. Calories in, calories out. That's what we're taught. You want to lose weight, eat less. And so I did that. I went on a diet. And actually, I ended up going on many diets, and every diet I went on always followed the same pattern. There'd be a whole list of things you couldn't have, no wheat, no sugar, no salt, no fat. Whatever it was, I'd follow the diet to the letter, and I'd lose a little bit of weight because you can lose weight, you know, if you're restricting yourself. But the problem was I was fighting cravings night and day, and there would come a time when I just couldn't fight it anymore. And I have this big binge, and all this weight I'd lose maybe 10 pounds through sheer brute force over a month's period. I'd have a binge, and in 2 days I'd gain that 10 pounds back, and then a week later I'd be 5 or 10 pounds heavier than when I started the diet. And this went on and on, where I'd lose 10 pounds, gain 20, lose 10 pounds, gain 20. This went on for 11 years till I had gained over 200 pounds. And I was over 400 pounds. And when I say I tried everything, I met face-to-face with the late Dr. Atkins of the Atkins Diet. And he was living in New York at the time, and so we used to meet on a weekly basis. And I just remember I was killing myself to go off of carbs because it was so hard for me. I was a carb addict, and it was impossible, and I wasn't losing weight. And he's looking at my – I remember I'm sitting in his office, and he's looking at my test scores, and I'm borderline type 2 diabetic, and all the symptoms, you know, insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome, and triglycerides through the roof, elevated cholesterol. And he just looks up at me and he goes, "What are you doing? You're killing yourself." And I think to myself, is that really the best you can do? You know, you're Dr. Atkins. you've sold maybe, what, 20 million copies of your book, and the best you can do is yell at me for being so fat? Like, I'm going to lose weight because you're mad at me? You know, like, I don't have enough motivation. I've got fitness trainers. I'm meeting with Dr. Atkins. I'm going to the Pritikin Institute. I'm doing all these things, and I'm just not losing weight. And I remember, you know, going to the Pritikin Institute is like the exact opposite of the Atkins diet. The Atkins diet is no carbs. The Pritikin diet is no fat. And I'd try whichever one it was, it'd be the same thing. I'd lose a little weight and then I'd gain it right back. And this went on and on, as I said, till 2001, I was over 400 pounds. And I sort of had a turning point, and this was in August 2001, before the September 11th event. I had this kind of turning point where I'm sitting in my office. I was driving home from a movie is what it was. And I'm thinking about how all over the years I had tried so hard to lose weight, and I just, no matter what I did, my body would fight me, and how there was a time when I was effortlessly thin, and it was just like, it occurred to me that it was just like this switch went off in my body that was forcing me to gain weight. And I just realized that as long as the switch was on, as long as my body wanted to be fat, there was nothing I could do to stop it. And I decided right then and there, I just pulled over by the side of the road, I just sat there, and I just decided I was never going to diet again. And instead of dieting, I was going to try to understand what this switch was that went off in my body that turned me into an insatiably hungry fat storage machine. What was this thing that happened to me, and what could I do about it? So I had a very solid biochemistry background from the University of Pennsylvania. I was in the business school, but I was also thinking of going to becoming a doctor, so I was pre-med, and I had studied molecular biology and organic chemistry and pretty much all the sciences, and that gave me enough of a foundation to do research on the internet, and I studied night and day, and one of the things I studied, in addition to just all the hormones involved in making fat and burning fat, and I rapidly became, you know, an expert in that area. I studied stress because I knew that it wasn't until I moved to New York and started having this high-stress job that I started gaining weight. So I started studying specifically the chemical changes that happen when you're in stress, and I started learning different types of stress reduction techniques, and that was before September 11th, and I had that massive wake-up call on September 11th, and then I just decided I needed to learn how to manage stress, manage my life, just live a simple life. I moved to Australia. I started living very, very simply. I wasn't working on Wall Street anymore. I was just growing my own food and learned meditation and visualization and kept doing research. And the way, still eating chocolate and, you know, fries and pizza. These days, this is 10 years down the road now. I don't eat those things anymore, only because I don't crave them anymore. But I was eating them, and I was still losing weight. But the thing was, I learned how to nourish my body properly in that I was adding the foods that I needed. So I wasn't counting calories anymore. I wasn't restricting myself anymore. I was adding the foods that I needed. I was dealing with digestion. I realized I have serious digestion problems. I learned how to improve my digestion. Learned how to meditate, reduce stress, manage stress. And the weight was just falling off. And what was interesting is that I lost weight slowly in the beginning. It's the exact opposite of a diet. You know, in a diet, you lose 20 pounds in 20 days, and then you're fighting to keep it off, and then you have this big rebound. I lost weight slowly in the beginning, but I didn't have a rebound. I wasn't fighting cravings. And then I started to lose weight faster and faster. And I realized there was a reason for that, and that is that when you address these issues, and when your body wants to let go of the weight, you can lose weight very, very quickly. I mean, chemically, what was happening was my insulin levels were going down. My body was becoming more sensitive to insulin, and so it became much, much easier to lose weight, to burn fat. And I started losing weight quicker and quicker, and at the end, I lost the last 20 pounds. I lost maybe 5 times faster than I lost the first 20 pounds. It just flew off of me, and that was in 2004, so 9 years ago, almost 10 years ago, and I've been the same weight now. I'm back in 183, 185 pounds. I've been the same weight now for almost 10 years. I never diet. Although I do eat a very, very healthy diet by most people's standards, I never count calories, I never restrict myself, and there's never a time when I think I want something and I don't eat it. It just so happens that my tastes have changed and I want healthier foods. I live an active life, but it's all effortless at this point. So my whole message in writing my book, The Gabriel Method, which I published in 2007, is that it's not about going to war with your body, fighting cravings, fighting your body, because you can fight what you put in your mouth in the short term, but you can't fight what you're craving. And your body, if it wants to hold on to weight, will make you insatiably hungry. And I lived through this. So rather than fight your body, address the real issues. Find out what's triggering this fat switch, what's causing your body to hold on to weight. And when you do that, the whole thing becomes effortless. And that's what we found now with thousands of people all over the world. I mean, almost half a million people now have read the book, and tens of thousands of people have written into me that they've been trying to lose weight by dieting all their life, and now they're losing weight finally without dieting, but at the same time, they're getting healthier and healthier, and they're craving healthier and healthier foods, and they're just not as hungry anymore.
Excellent. That's a great story so far, that, John. A lot of big learnings in there. You talked about you noticed a switch happened in you at some point. Yeah. Can you elaborate on that switch a little bit more? What was it for you?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I call it a fat switch, but I also call it the fat program. When I first started, when I decided I wasn't going to diet anymore, I started doing serious research. I asked myself, you know, what's the purpose of fat? Why do we need fat at all? And maybe in today's world, we don't need fat in an adipose sense. But thousands of years ago, when we were living outdoors, we needed fat to sustain us through famines and long period, like a long, cold winter. You're living outdoors in a long, cold winter. There's nothing to eat. You're cold all the time. That's a stress to your body. And that stress causes certain chemistry in your body. A specific signature of chemical changes take place. That signature of chemical changes causes your body to go into this sort of fat storage mode. It's activate a fat switch in you. And I don't know how in-depth you want to go with your listeners in terms of the chemistry behind that. We can if you want. But it conceptually what happens is it does several things to cause you to gain weight for survival reasons. So some of the things it does is it makes you insatiably hungry. Your brain stops listening to your stomach when you're full. Your brain stops sending a message to your thyroid to produce thyroid hormones. Your thyroid slows down. Your liver goes into fat storage mode. All of these things, and it resists burning fat. So when you can, and you're tired all the time. So you combine the fact that you're insatiably hungry, you also crave sweeter foods. Your tongue loses sensitivity to sweet foods, so it takes sweeter foods to satisfy. So you're hungrier. You're not listening. Your brain's not listening when you're full. You're craving sweeter foods. Your metabolism's slowing down, and your liver's going to fat storage. When you combine all these things, it's a all points concerted effort to turn your body into a fat storage machine for survival reasons, to protect you against famines. Now, we don't have famines anymore, but if you look at the chemical changes that take place in your body when you're in a famine, pro-inflammatory cytokines get elevated, cortisol gets elevated, triglycerides get elevated, all of these things happen. These things happen to us all the time in our normal life as a result of stresses in the foods we eat, digestive stresses, inflammatory stresses, mental and emotional stresses. All of these stresses can cause the exact same hormonal changes in your body that a famine does. So in a sense, your brain gets tricked into thinking you're in a famine, even though you could have 200 pounds of excess fat on your body, which is what at one time I did. My brain was acting as if I was in a famine. It's a trick because of modern day stresses basically confusing our primitive primal survival brain into thinking we're in a famine. That causes the switch, again, for survival reasons, to cause your body to want to hold on to weight. So the way to lose weight and keep it off in a sustainable way is to change the internal chemistry in your body, whether it's from a mental or emotional stress or from the foods you're eating or from a digestive problem or medications or whatever, or toxins or whatever the things are, is to change the chemistry in your body and the stresses that are causing that chemistry so that your body, brain's not being tricked into thinking of famine anymore.
That's brilliant. There's a lot of people out there that would never have heard of that before. So that'd be a big learning for a lot of people listening, I would say. So, you know, along the line, along the way on your quest for health, let's say, is there any big failures or big lessons that you learnt along the way?
Yeah, okay. So my failures happened before my successes. You know, I got all my failures out of the way in the beginning, and then everything clicked at a certain point. But all my failures were the biggest failure is this idea that you have power over your body, that willpower will cause you to gain to, to lose weight and keep it off. That every time I tried through willpower and brute force to actively force myself to eat less and do it in a sustainable way, my body always rebelled. And if you think about it conceptually, it makes sense. I'll tell you why. Because if your brain's already being tricked into thinking you're in a famine, not because you're eating less, but because of some stress that's happening in your life, mental, physical, emotional stress causing the chemistry of a famine, so your brain's already being tricked into thinking you're in a famine, and then you go on a diet when you really, really are in a famine, then because a diet is an artificial famine, it's an artificially induced famine, you just reinforce this confused notion into your brain that you are in a famine, are really in a famine, and that makes your body, in a sense, dig in its heels even more and force you to gain even more weight, and you end up going to war with your body. So all my failures happen in one way or another, trying to go to war with my body, whether it's low carb or low fat or low this or low that or whatever the plan was, it always resulted in a failure. But once I stopped doing that and always looked in the direction of changing my internal chemistry from the inside out by reducing stress, by improving my digestion, by adding lots of omega-3s and live food and quality proteins and things like that. By doing all these things, then it just became automatic after that. So, and since then, it's all pretty much been automatic.
Excellent stuff. So, you know, you mentioned, as we know, there's loads of different diets out there. Two questions I often get is comparing and contrasting the vegan diet and the paleolithic diet. Which one of those do you reckon is best and why?
I think the paleo diet's better because the vegan diet, I think the vegan diet, if you do it right, is great. You can be super, super healthy. If you do it wrong, it's an absolute nightmare. It's a disaster. I gained over 100 pounds for 7 years. I was a vegan, and I gained weight the whole time. And I have seen so many people do it. So when it's a disaster is when you're eating most of the foods, when you're not getting the nutrients you need. So you're not getting enough protein. You're not getting enough iron. You're not getting enough B vitamins. So the types of things that you might get in meats, you're not getting those things. And so you're hungry all the time, and you are eating what I call dead carbs, which is processed foods, breads, grains, rice, sugar, refined sugars, all of these things. What happens is it sets up a vicious cycle where your insulin levels keep elevating and elevating, which causes insulin resistance, which makes them elevate even more. And insulin is a fat-making hormone, so you go into this kind of perpetual fat-making mode. And then also, and your leptin levels rise, and you create leptin resistance as a result of this. All of these things sort of cause you to gain weight. And because you're nutritionally starved for certain essential nutrients, you're hungry all the time. And when you're hungry all the time, it just makes you crave dead carbs all the time. So you end up eating just dead, empty carbs day and night because you're missing the essential ingredients. Now, if you want to do vegan right, it's kind of extreme, but the only way to do vegan right is to be raw. That is, all your carbohydrates are raw because your body can process raw without the same exaggerated insulin responses that you would get, and to make sure you have a good protein supplement, and to make sure you get a good type of B vitamins such as nutritional yeast, and to get lots of green live juices because they have lots of trace minerals and ions and magnesium that you need. So you have to really be extreme to be a vegan and make it work. Otherwise, it's a disaster. The paleo diet, I like it a lot. Because in general, pretty much anything that's not man-made, our bodies know how to digest and assimilate and have the nutrients that we need. So I always tell people I'm a raw food vegan that eats chicken, meat, and fish because I eat animal protein whenever I want it, but at the same time I eat heaps of salads. Most of my carbohydrates are raw. I eat live fruits and vegetables. Paleos don't eat any much fruit. I eat fruit if I want it. But I just take the approach that if it existed on an island 10,000 years ago, your body knows how to handle it. But to correct an imbalance, the paleos are technically right, that to correct an imbalance, you might want to go off fruit for a while. But eventually, once you're in balance and the insulin resistance goes away and your body can burn fat better, you can have fruit too. But But I have found that man-made foods in general, whether you're vegan or not, they're going to cause you problems.
I definitely agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, the other things that man-made foods, like processed foods like wheat and pasteurized dairy and things like that, they cause inflammation, and the inflammatory hormones, known as pro-inflammatory cytokines, they're the ones that cause this fat switch. They cause leptin resistance, and they cause insulin resistance, which everybody's trying to, through dietary means, fight leptin and insulin resistance by lowering carbs or doing this or doing that. What you're really saying is managing your blood sugar. What you're really saying is you're trying to reverse leptin and insulin resistance. Well, that's great, fighting it by dietary means, but if the foods you're eating are causing inflammation, then you create a chemical condition that also causes leptin and insulin resistance. Like I remember listening to this brilliant biochemist who's anti-fructose, and it's this whole platform, and he's the one that's spearheading this no-fructose movement, which is great. It makes a lot of sense. But at the end of this lecture, that YouTube lecture is on, I heard him say something that totally lost me. He said he'd rather have a piece of bread than a fruit because it's got less fructose in it, and he totally lost me there because bread does a couple of things. One, it creates an exaggerated insulin response, so you get three times more insulin in your bloodstream per carbohydrate than fruit. So and insulin's the fat storage hormone, so it creates a fat storage effect. Bread also, the gluten in bread causes inflammation, and the inflammatory hormones also cause insulin leptin resistance. So you got to look at, everybody seems to have one or two pieces of the puzzle. You got to look at the whole picture. And that the whole picture is what's causing the chemistry in your body.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. There's so many different different viewpoints out there that don't cover the whole picture. It's,
exactly.
In some ways, a lot of them are very reductionist in the way they look at things, aren't they?
Exactly. Exactly. They go smaller and smaller when you have to look bigger and bigger. The biggest example is there's a lot of brilliant biochemists out there, molecular biologists, that they're really nailing one side of it, but they're not trained to look at stress, and even if they are, to deal with stress, because they just don't know how to measure it, they don't know how to quantify it, and they don't see the effect of it. But the reality is stress causes inflammation, causes an elevation of pro-inflammatory cytokines like interleukin-6 and C-reactive protein there's a couple others that I can't remember right now. Tumor necrosis alpha, that's the other one. So these pro-inflammatory cytokines, they cause all the problem, and that's stress, and cortisol causes insulin resistance. These are the things, and for most people, and I know this first from living through it, because it wasn't until I moved to New York, started working in Washington, a high-stress job, I started gaining weight before it was effortless to be thin, and then when the stress was going on in my body, there was nothing I could do to gain weight. And so I learned how to manage the stress. There was nothing I could do, rather, there was nothing I could do to lose weight. And then it wasn't until I managed the stress, and then I could lose the weight. So many of the most brilliant minds out there are not trained to look at the whole picture because they don't understand the mind-body connection. So for me, it's essential. The first thing I always look at is the stresses, the trauma, abuse as a kid. It's a stress response. It's a protective mechanism. You've got to look at all of these things because they're causing real tangible chemistry in your body.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I work with my clients and patients, I always say to be truly healthy, you've got to do three things. It's very simple. Eat well, move well, and think well. You've got to have balance, haven't you, between the three of those to be healthy.
Exactly. And that, and then that's the concept. And then the next question is the application, and especially the think well one, because the think well, you can't take a pill for that. You know what I mean?
Indeed.
Training. And like for us, what we do, what works really, really well is visualizations. I've been studying visualization for years now, and we've created some really good visualizations. I ask people, they're 5 and 10 minutes long. I ask people to listen to them at night and in the mornings. And that tends to rewire your brain circuitry away from a stress response. That's what they found with visualization, which is really a form of meditation, inhibits signals in and out of the amygdala, which is the seat of aggression and fear in the limbic area of your brain. So what happens for most of us is we're caught in this cyclical loop where we're constantly creating stimuli neural stimuli in your brain in the amygdala, which is causing something called the chronic stress response network. So we're creating this chronic stress because of this feedback loop of fearful thoughts. Well, if you meditate in the morning or do visualizations in the morning and evening, as I suggest in our approach, what happens is you actually start to inhibit those signals. So not only are you clearing out the stress hormones by having that 10 minutes of stress-free living, you're rewiring your brain chemistry so that you're not creating those signals anymore, and you're actually activating other areas of your brain, your cerebral area, that are involved in the feeling of connection and safety, which is really what you need. You need to feel safe. You need to feel relaxed and connected and calm. You need all these things in order to change your body's chemistry. So that think one is a really, really big one. And what's interesting also is that when you get the think one right, the eat one, the eat well and move well right, become much easier. Because one of the reasons why we don't eat well and we're too tired and move well is because we've got this chemistry activating this famine response, and that's making us tired all the time and creating junk food. So and it's caused by many times our fears, our mental and emotional stress. So when you've changed the way you think, as you say, and so you're not having that stress all the time, you're not having the famine chemistry, and so you're not tired all the time, and you're not craving junk food all the time. So the eat well and the move well component become infinitely easier when you get the think well one right. Make sense?
Yeah. It does, yeah. It's a very good point, and it fits in very much with the way I practice and what I teach on my programs as well. Very, very good.
People know they're supposed to eat well. They know they're supposed to exercise. They don't have any energy, and they're craving junk food. And I lived through this. And you tend to alienate people when they walk into your office and say, "Oh, just eat less." And they feel like you have no idea what's going on inside me. So if you start first with the emotional part of it, the mental part, get that in check, then they feel like you understand, and they also see a difference. I can't tell you how many times I get the email, "I don't know what's wrong with me, I'm just not that hungry anymore." And I say, "Well, there's nothing wrong with you, your body wants to lose weight now because it's not being tricked into activating this famine response."
That's cool. So what would you say of that old adage, John, when people want to lose weight, eat less, move more? What would your instant response be to that one?
Yeah, mine is it has to come from the inside out. You can't force yourself to eat less because your body will fight you if it wants to gain weight, and you can't force yourself to eat more in a sustainable way because if your body is wanting to hold on to the weight, you're going to be tired and sluggish all the time, and it's going to just be turned into more of a chronic stress. So you have to do it from the inside out. You actually have to address whatever it is that's causing you to want to eat too much and it's causing you to want to be sluggish. You address those things, and then it happens automatically.
What advice would you give to people wanting to improve their health, John, whether these people want total health transformation or whether they're just looking to maximize their energy and performance? What advice would you give to those two groups?
Okay, you want to be nourishing your body at every level. So in dealing with stress, is oftentimes about nourishing your body and your life. So you want to nourish your mind, nourish your emotions, nourish your body, nourish your digestion, improve your digestion. All of these things, nourishment is really what it's about. And I don't mean and nourishment about food is one side of the equation. But to look at it in terms of adding. It's always easy to say don't eat wheat, don't eat sugar. We all know that already. And sometimes we can do it, sometimes we can't. But if you keep the focus on adding really healthy foods, adding live green juices, adding a meditation and a visualization or a mind-body practice like yoga or qigong, look at it in terms of adding. How can I add positive habits or really healthy, positive foods to my life? And if you do it from the adding perspective instead of the taking away, eventually your body gets healthier and healthier, craves healthier and healthier, and then all the bad stuff falls away on its own. So keep the focus on adding.
Excellent. I remember hearing you saying that on Hungry for Change, actually. A lot of the different experts on that film were talking about focus on adding as opposed to taking away. What's the basis behind that?
The basis is by adding healthy foods, you change your body's chemistry. By adding a visualization and meditation, you're changing your body's chemistry. And by changing your body's chemistry, then you will crave less foods. You will crave healthier foods. You will have more energy, and you will create a positive cycle in your life. You'll also think clearer. You'll have less stress. There'll be less cellular stress in your body. You'll have less toxins. All of these things create a positive momentum in your life that give you the strength to effortlessly let go of all the bad things that are causing you problems. The adding thing creates a real positive momentum in your life.
Excellent. Great idea. So as part of your programs, do you teach juicing and smoothies and stuff? And if so, which ones are your favorites?
Yeah, okay. So I talk a lot about juices and smoothies, but again, in terms of adding. So adding a really healthy juice and smoothie is a great idea. Now, with juices, I do not recommend, if you're wanting to lose weight, I do not recommend your juices have any fruits, carrots, or beet in them. Because when you concentrate the sugar of the fruit, the carrots, or the beets that strongly into your bloodstream, it tricks your body into getting an accelerated insulin response. And the worst thing in the world is when you think you're doing something good for yourself and it turns out that you're not. So if you're juicing, and I do a lot of juicing, have it be green leafy vegetables, celery, spinach, kale, cucumber. My favorite juice right now, it's not sweet. You just have to get used to the fact that juices are not sweet, but make them palatable. My favorite juice right now is lemon and ginger. The lemon and the ginger cut the kind of the bitterness off of the celery. Pure detoxification and nourishment and healthy enzymes and everything you need. It's beautiful. I'll drink some. I actually pay my niece. My niece works for me. I actually pay her to go out and shop and juice for me. I'll have like a liter or two of that sometimes when she does it. And it's just really satisfying. Now for smoothies, you can put fruit in it. So a good, because it's got the fiber in it too, and it's not going to as concentrated as sugar. So a typical smoothie I might have would have spinach, coconut water, maybe a frozen mango, half a frozen mango in there, and protein powder and some flaxseed oil that has omega-3s, because omega-3s are really, really essential. So I make sure that my people get omega-3s at every meal if they can. So that's the type of smoothie I might have, and it's a really yummy one. So spinach, coconut water, protein powder, a little bit of mango, frozen mango, and some flaxseed oil. Really nice smoothie.
Sounds like a good one. Yeah, so I'm glad to hear you're a big advocate of omega-3s as well, because they're such a really powerful anti-inflammatory among many other things, aren't they?
Exactly. Exactly. And on a cellular level, they make the cells of your body, it's a permeable fat that makes your cells of your body more sensitive to leptin and insulin, which really solves the problem on a cellular level. So I tell people to sprinkle ground chia seeds and ground flax seeds at every meal, to take fish oil capsules if they can, or krill oil capsules, to get really omega-3s in every way possible. Have dehydrated flaxseed crackers, use flax oil as a dressing, just, you know, get it wherever and however you can. But don't have to cook with it, of course. Yeah.
Good stuff. So do you tend to eat much in the way of salads?
Yeah. I mean, a typical meal for me is going to be a salad, a huge salad that's like the size of, for a family of five, you know, a big salad bowl with maybe some salmon or some chicken, sprinkled some ground flax seeds on it, have a dressing with, or chia seeds, have a dressing with flax, balsamic vinegar, tamari. My meals are always going to have a salad in it. I always say, whatever you're eating, make a salad out of it, except with the exception of a lot of certain breakfast foods and some snacks and things like that. Most of my meals are going to have a salad. That's why I say I'm a raw food vegan that eats chicken, meat, and fish. That's like a typical meal for me.
Okay, cool. And what would your typical breakfast look like? I'd imagine it's nothing like a typical American breakfast.
My typical breakfast is always evolving, but it could be a salad with chicken, meat, fish. It could be like that. It could also be one of these smoothies that I just talked about. Or it could be like some flax crackers with some hummus and dips. And I usually, at this point, I usually kind of nosh in them more. Just whenever I'm hungry, I'll have some nuts and seeds and some fruit. And I just started experimenting with chia bran to make things with. So chia bran is really interesting. Chia bran is not ground chia seeds. So chia bran is the byproduct of making chia oil. So there's no omega-3s in it, but so all it is fiber and protein. But what I've discovered about it is it makes a great flour. So we make pancakes, bagels, pizza crusts, breads, even French toast out of this chia bran. And there's nothing to elevate your insulin levels. There's no gluten. There's nothing to cause inflammation. My kids love it. So the other day, actually, as a matter of fact, the producers of Hungry for Change were over the weekend. They slept over, and in the morning I made them blueberry chia pancakes, and they loved it. They wrote the recipe down. So a blueberry chia pancake is going to have eggs with chia bran and blueberries and maybe a little bit of salt and possibly a little coconut palm sugar. Make it like a regular pancake and then serve it with some coconut yogurt and maybe some fruit or something like that. Really nice. It's really yummy, and gives you protein. There's protein in the eggs. There's protein in the chia bran, and nothing too bad in it. And in the coaching program, I've got something called Breakfast with John, where we've made about 70 or 80 videos that have different breakfast ideas and question and answers. So all of these different things are in that program. We're actually going to write a book called What's for Breakfast.
Cool. I was showing a friend of mine a picture of yourself where you went from over 400 pounds down to less than 200 pounds. This mate of mine said, how did he do that? Did he have, after he lost all the weight, did he have some surgery on the skin? What was the process there?
Yeah. So no, I didn't have any surgery. As a matter of fact, when I published my book, The Gabriel Method, back in 2007, I had to satisfy my publishers, I actually had to go to the doctor and get a letter from the doctor that says I examined him and that he doesn't have any, there was no surgery. So I didn't have surgery, and my skin did respond really well. And I think the reason why it responded so well is twofold. One, it was a gradual process. I lost 220 pounds over a two-year process. And so it wasn't like the biggest loser thing where you lose it all in 6 months and your skin just doesn't have a chance to respond. So it was a gradual process. But more importantly, I did it in a way where I was dealing with stress and lowering stress. Now, when you lose weight through dieting or surgery, it's a stress on your body and that elevates your cortisol levels. And cortisol causes your skin to lose its elasticity. And when you're in a chronic state of stress, your cells can't repair them. People don't lose that kind of ability to have their skin be elastic and have the elastin in their body. See, I was just getting healthier and healthier. And at the end, I did this big juice fast, and I was just like glow in the dark at the end. I was just so healthy. I also did actually a visualization for tightening skin. Who knows if that worked or not, but I use visualization for everything. So I'm inclined to think it might have contributed.
Excellent. Good stuff. So where can people go to find out a little bit more information about yourself and your programs, John? Where should they go online?
Yeah, they should go to thegabrielmethod.com. Gabriel, like the angel, method, so T-H-E-G-A-B-R-I-E-L, method, M-E-T-H-O-D.com. And there's hundreds of pages of articles and free things and free visualizations and downloads and webinars and mini classes. And so really, it's a very, very active site. And with lots and lots of information. So that's definitely the place to go.
Excellent. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the webinar series, John. Thanks very much for your valuable input there.
No, it's been my pleasure, too. I really appreciate it. And thanks a lot for all the great work that you're doing out there and just spreading the message of health and vitality to the world. So I really appreciate being part of it.
Excellent stuff, John.
Thanks very much.
You're very welcome, mate. Thank you again.
You've been listening to Dr. Danny Scarhill on the Total Health Transformation Podcast, helping you to eat, move, and think on purpose. See you on our next episode.